Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Perhaps I may add my words of welcome to you one and all as you gather with us in God's house tonight. Truly may the Lord's presence and power come down amongst us. Luke chapter 10, reading some verses toward the end of the chapter, beginning at the verse 38. I hope you can understand that. I was talking on the phone today and had the greatest difficulty persuading an operator that I hadn't an itch, but I was trying to say it. And since I was repeating quite a lengthy number to them, they just could not figure out why in the middle of this all I kept itching. Well, we managed to get it scratched and got on to the business. Well, we're reading from verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. And may God bless this reading from his precious word. Let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer. O God, our Father, we pray tonight that by grace divine, we might sit at your feet and hear your word. Only grace can bring us to the feet of Christ. Oh, have mercy upon us, we pray. And grant that this night our souls may be brought into a place of fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that thou wilt help me. Help me to preach. Help me to proclaim thy message for this gathering. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt overrule. O God, thou, Lord, knowest me. O God, for thy name's sake, be pleased tonight to take up this poor earthen vessel. O God, use us to your glory. And may we be conscious this evening of the Lord, as we have never been conscious of him before. Please, Lord, keep your hand upon me. Humble me before thee, Lord. Let nothing of self intrude. O God, show thyself. Manifest thy power. Answer prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want to speak tonight upon the subject of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Taking as my text those words that are found in the verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We need not be in any doubt about the affection that Martha and Mary had for the Lord Jesus Christ. The words spoken by the Savior to Martha, when in gentlest of rebukes, he says in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things," is not meant to give to us the impression that there was no affection in the heart of Martha for the Lord Jesus Christ. Both these women loved the Savior and loved him sincerely. What the Savior was pointing out to Martha was that she was being over-concerned about less important matters within her household. The Lord Jesus loved the whole of the family in this house in Bethany. For we read in John's Gospel, chapter 11, and the verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Wherever the Lord is loved, he will come to visit. He will manifest himself. And that's a promise that we can claim. You can claim it, Christian, for your home. We can claim it for our assembly, our meeting together. We can claim the presence of Christ. He says to us all, in John chapter 14 and the verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Have you ever desired to see Jesus? Have you ever desired to have him show himself to you? Well, here is a promise. A promise in which he says, "I will manifest myself." To who? To those who have his commandments and who keep them. For thus they demonstrate their love for Christ. You cannot love Christ and disobey this book. You cannot love Christ and live in contradiction of the Bible. This is a book we ought to search most diligently and measure our lives by it. For it is as we conform ourselves by God's grace to this book that we show our love for Christ and will be loved by him, and he will come and show himself to us. Here is a household where there was a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved that household. And he came to it. He lodged there. There is a great difference in the character of the two sisters we meet in this portion of Scripture. A difference in temperament. And it's a difference that really, whenever we find the two of them together, we see it highlighted. It's recorded in the Scriptures. In verse 38 of this portion, we are told that it came to pass that the Lord Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She most likely was the oldest member of the family, and it is therefore termed her house. And she opened it to the Lord. She opened it to the Lord. But on the other hand, the next verse tells us that Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Now this difference is further highlighted in John chapter 11, when on the occasion of the sickness of the man of the house, the brother of Mary and Martha, the Lord Jesus comes. Lazarus has died. And the Savior comes to the home of mourning. And listen to what we read in the verse 11 of chapter, or verse 20 rather, of chapter 11 of John's Gospel. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Here again you see, I believe, the difference in these two women. One was a woman of action, an active person. A woman who, upon hearing that Christ had come to the village, immediately threw open her home to him. Undoubtedly sent out an invitation. And busied herself to welcome the Savior to her home. Here, the home is a home of mourning. And upon hearing that Christ is coming, Martha immediately goes out to meet him. She was a woman of action. She was a woman who had to be doing. Mary, on the other hand, was a person who was passive, contemplative. In both of these incidents, we find her still and quiet, waiting. In John chapter 11, we are told that she did not go out to meet the Lord when Martha went out, but she stayed at home. She stayed back and waited. And then, when she is invited by the Lord to come, we read in the verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." That's the major difference in these two women. That is highlighted by the Lord, and I believe that we would be wise to take note of this fact. One was a woman given to action. The other was a woman given to contemplation. Now, I do believe that we ought to desire and seek after a mixture of both in our lives. Let us be active, and let us be contemplative. But remember what the Lord Jesus said concerning Mary. She hath chosen that good part. If we are going to be anything, let us be more contemplative than active. Let us be ever ready to take our place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something first and foremost from our text. It is this, the greatest honor that you can bestow upon the Lord Jesus Christ is to sit at His feet. Greatest honor. I'm sure it's your desire, Christian, to honor the Savior. I'm sure if you pray at all, you will, in your prayers, among those things that you desire, say, Lord, I desire to honor You. Well, here is how we honor the Lord. I think it is the chief means of honoring the Lord. You will never, never bestow a greater honor upon Him than when you, like Mary, sit at His feet. Sitting at His feet surpasses the giving of our property, our goods, our strength, our service to His cause. Paul the Apostle, writing to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." And there was in the heart of Mary a love for Christ, a love that bound her to Him, to His feet, a love that brought her every time she was, it appears, in His presence. It brought her to His feet. It brought her to His feet. Oh, I tell you, there is no greater honor that Christ would desire from us than that which is granted or given by us when we fall at His feet and there listen to His Word. At the feet of Christ, you are in the place of homage. You're honoring Him as King. You remember the story of Ruth. When, as a poor widow, she returned with her mother-in-law to Judah. Well, she didn't return. Her mother-in-law was returning. She accompanied her mother-in-law. When it was discovered that she was gleaning in the fields of one who qualified as her kinsman redeemer, she was instructed by Naomi how she could lay claim to that service that the kinsman redeemer must perform under the law. She was told by Naomi that when the day's work was over and when others had left and when Boaz had laid himself down to rest, then she was to lay claim upon his responsibility to redeem her by uncovering his feet and lying down at his feet. And thus, in the place of homage, in the place of humility for her, in the place of honoring Boaz, she laid claim upon that power that he alone could exercise. Dear Christian, when we take our place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are paying homage to Him as our King, as our Redeemer. It's the place of hearing. It's the place where we will be spoken to by the Lord. Our text tells us that when Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, it was in order to hear His word. It's so appropriate, so proper. If you go to stand before a king to hear the king speak to you as a subject, you do it in the place of lowliness. You do it in the place where you have bowed in submission. No king will address one who stands before him. The Lord Jesus, if we would hear Him, if we would have Him speak to us, will want us to take our place at His feet. Just like Mary. For it is there that we hear His word. You hear Him as King. You're acting toward Him in a fashion that becomes His kingship. Oh, how often you can detect a spirit of arrogance in those who would profess to be worshipping the Lord. And they have no view of Him as King. They have no view of Him upon the throne. Otherwise they would fall at His feet. They would fall at His feet. Oh, that we might see Him as Mary saw Him and realize there's only one place for me. At His feet. At His feet. Is that your place tonight? Is that where you are at this moment, here in the meeting? Oh, if only we could see ourselves in the light of Christ upon the throne. If we could see ourselves as God sees us. I have no doubt that instantly the positions that we occupy here would suddenly change. There would be those in this gathering, and they are down upon their faces at the feet of Jesus. But some of you are standing in arrogance, standing in pride, standing in rebellion, and you will not bow before the feet of Christ. How stands your heart at this moment, young man, young woman? Oh, that the Lord might reveal Himself to you tonight. Oh, that you might sense the glorious person of the One with whom you have to do. May you fall at His feet. May you fall at His feet. I think of what we read in the opening chapter of the book of the Revelation, when John in the Spirit, worshipping the Lord, hears a voice behind him, speaking unto him. And when he turns to see that voice, he beholds the glorious Son of God. And in verse 17 it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." I fell at his feet. Oh, my dear friend, is that where you are tonight? Are you at the feet of Jesus? It's the place where we pay homage to him. It's the place where we listen to him. It's the place that Samuel was that night when he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Thy servant heareth." Would you hear him? Dear Christian, would you hear him? Would you have him speak to you? Would you have him communicate his love to you, his will to you, his purpose to you? Would you have him converse with you? And get down at his feet. Get down at his feet. Oh, Mary knew that's the place he'll talk to me. He'll talk to me. And she fell down at his feet that she might hear his word. You know, it's the place of rest. It was a restful position to adopt. For the child of God, there is only one place of rest, and it's at the feet of Jesus. You'll find rest nowhere else. You remember the dove that Noah released from the ark? Remember how he sent it out in order that he might find out whether or not the waters were receding. The world under the judgment of God. And the dove went out and flew round, circled again and again. And then it returned to the ark. For the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. There's no rest in this world, dear Christian. No rest, except at the feet of Jesus. No peace of mind. No calmness. No contentment. No blessed assurance, except at the feet of Jesus. Oh, wandering soul tonight, listen to me. You'll never find rest in this world. This world will call you in and promise you rest, promise you peace, promise you pleasure, promise you all the things that your sinful soul desires. But I tell you now, you'll never find rest except at the feet of Jesus. The devil has never found rest. The greatest sinner of all, the one being to whom all the places of pleasure are open, is a restless creature. In the book of Job, you find him declaring in answer to the question, "Where have you been?" He said, "I have been going to and fro throughout the earth." The restlessness of the devil. What a testimony that sin can never satisfy. Sin can never satisfy. But there's rest at the feet of Jesus. There's rest at the feet of Jesus. Oh, happy day. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, happy, happy day. My soul found rest in believing, and my sins were washed away. It's the one place I call you tonight, my friend, to the feet of Jesus. That's where I call you. I call you to take your place at the feet of Jesus. If you would know rest, Christian, that's where you need to rest. That's where you need to rest. Oh, take time and sit down at the feet of Jesus. It's our rightful place. It's a proper place. It seems so proper for us to sit at his feet. Would you honor Christ then? Then take your place at his feet. When he comes, take your place at his feet. It's the greatest honor that you can bestow upon the Savior. Let me tell you something else. Linked to this matter of hearing the Word at the feet of Christ, what we hear when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus gives us possession of the knowledge of God's purpose. It is at the feet of Jesus that He'll share His secrets with you. That's what I want to tell you. That's what I want to say. It's at the feet of Jesus He'll whisper things to you that no one else hears. And I have no doubt He did that. Martha was busy. Busy showing love to Christ, you know. She loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. And her love for Christ took her into the kitchen or whatever room she made the food ready. And she wanted to welcome the Lord. She wanted to show her love for Him. And she was busy. But she didn't hear His word there. He didn't share secrets there. It was down at the feet of Jesus that Mary learned things that others didn't. You know, while Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, she learned that He was going to die soon. She learned that. He told her about the cross. Told her about the cross. There are a number of anointings of Christ referred to in the Scriptures. Mary, our Mary, was one of those who anointed Him. We read, for instance, in John chapter 11 and the verse 2, if you care to look at it. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Mary was one of those who anointed the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 12, when she had anointed the Lord, you have it in detail. There was a complaint lodged by Judas Iscariot, saying that the use of the ointment that she had poured upon the Lord was wasteful. And why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Verse 5 of John 12. And the Lord replied, "Let her alone." Verse 7. "Against the day of my burying has she kept this." Where did she learn about the Lord going to die and be buried? I believe it was down at the feet of Jesus. Listen, men and women, if there's one thing the Lord will tell us about when we are at His feet, it's His death and His burial. And if there's one thing that you need to know and I need to know in order that our salvation become ever more real to us, in order that we might enter more and more and more into the grace of God that is in Christ, in order that we might put on His power and walk in victory over sin? If there's one thing we need to know about in order to gain these things, we need to learn about His death. We need to be brought to the cross. And we need to be taught by the Lord what it was that happened there. So many people have a knowledge of the cross that is based on sentimentality. It is a knowledge taught by the precept of man. It is a knowledge that is superficial. It's a knowledge that extends no further than the singing of a hymn like the old rugged cross. There's no depth. There's no understanding of the Savior's sufferings, of His death. It was this knowledge that Paul earnestly sought after all his days. You recall how he writes of this matter in Philippians. Philippians and the chapter 3. He says in verse 10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And in order that I might know this, he says, I gladly give up all things and count them as dung. That was the target. That was the knowledge that he sought above all things. And that's the knowledge the Lord gave Mary as she sat at His feet. She came into that house and she broke the alabaster box and she anointed the body of Jesus, because to her the death of Jesus was real. It was real. For others, that visit to that house in Bethany was a social occasion. They were there to see Lazarus. They were there to see the one who had raised him. But for Mary, she saw Him crucified. He was for her the Lamb of God. And she came and she desired to anoint Him. Oh, men and women, that we might know Christ and Him crucified. That we might understand this. And you'll not understand. I don't care how many seminars you go to, my friend. I don't care how many commentaries you read. You'll never learn it except at the feet of Jesus. Only there will we come to understand Calvary. It's shrouded in darkness. And only the Lord can lift the veil. She sat at His feet and she learned about His death. You know, the Lord had often talked to the disciples about His death. And if you read carefully the gospel accounts, as He drew nearer and nearer to His rejection by the Jewish people and to His crucifixion, He became more persistent, if I might use that word, in His dealing with His dying. And again He told the disciples, the Son of Man will be rejected. And He will be crucified. He dealt with His subject. Increasingly so. And yet the disciples never seemed to learn. When the crucifixion took place, it was as if He had never told them it was going to happen. They were thrown into confusion. we have an example of the confusion in the conversation of the two on the road to Emmaus, and they don't know what has happened. They don't know what has taken place. They could make nothing of Christ being crucified. It's clear to me that unlike Mary, they weren't sitting at his feet when he told them. They weren't sitting at his feet. Indeed, there were occasions when the Lord said, "I'm going to Jerusalem and there I shall be rejected." There were those who said, "Lord, this is not going to happen. We're going to have to do something about this." They weren't listening as Mary listened. They weren't at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Men and women, there is a verse of Scripture in the book of Psalms that I would draw your attention to. Psalm 25, verse 14. "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." Think on that. Listen. This is not just a few words strung together in a rather poetic fashion that would make a lovely plaque on our wall. That's about as much some people make of God's word, an ornament for their wall. But let us hear what this says. Listen to what God says here. "The secret of the Lord we don't know very much you know we don't know very much And should mankind continue for millions and millions of years, and each year they make great strides in their understanding of the universe, they still won't know much. There will still and ever will be the secret of the Lord. But the Lord shares His secret with those who fear Him. He shows them His covenant. Shows them His covenant. How often a man of wealth, a man of many possessions, recognizing that his life is drawing to the close, draws aside the one upon whom his affection resides, and he takes out a document. He says, "That's my will. And I want to tell you what I'm going to do with all my possessions. I want to tell you where it's going to go when I depart. You're the heir. You're the heir. Sharing this secret with you now. Don't be telling others. I'm showing you my covenant." And that's what the Lord does for those who sit at His feet. He shows them His covenant. Listen. Life's problems evaporate with just one look at what God's going to do for us. When you get a look at His covenant, I tell you, my friend, you cease to worry about this world and you're standing in it. Oh, how our souls would be enraptured if we could tonight but read one line of the covenant. That covenant made in eternity between God the Father,
God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, in which they came together to make me the heir of all things. And I'll not read that covenant, my friend, except sitting at the feet of Jesus. There he will share his secret. Oh, how many Christians live and die without really ever coming to understand something, at least, of what is theirs in Christ. Sit at the feet of Jesus, dear Christian. Pray God for grace to sit. Pray God for grace to sit. Yes, Mary learned things at the feet of Jesus that the disciples, the instructed ones, the Peters, the Johns, didn't learn. Mary learned them. Not a good thing. I find that very encouraging, you know. For the simple reason that here's a school you can go to and it doesn't cost you anything. You know, you don't even need brains to learn. Here's a school for Marys. Here's a school for Marys. Here is where you can learn that which many miss. I must confess that I could make this point with far greater liberty at home, because we don't have any lecturers or professors or anything like that at home. And it might sound, it would sound most improper of me if I were to let fly the way I would at home. I don't disparage knowledge. I don't. It's a wonderful thing to be gifted by God with the faculties of mind that enables you to go further, roam over a greater territory of knowledge than many others. But here's a knowledge, men and women, that all you need to obtain is to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's for you, Christian. No matter who you are, no matter what age you are, no matter how gifted or ungifted you may be, here's a knowledge for you. And it's the chief of all knowledge. You can obtain it while John misses it, while Peter misses it. You can enter into it. You can enjoy it. Seated at the feet of Jesus. I think that that's why when Mary did what she did in anointing Christ, she was so misunderstood. In Matthew 26, there is an account of an anointing in the house in Bethany. I thought it was the same anointing, but maybe I'm wrong, and I've learned something tonight. But whether it was the same Mary or not, I dare say doesn't really make any great difference. But we read that this woman came in, and she pours upon the Savior very precious ointment. And there is a reaction very similar to that reaction we read of in John chapter 12. And this reaction came from amongst those who were the disciples. Verse 8 of Matthew 26 says, "But when his disciples saw it, this woman was moved by what she knew, by what she knew lay ahead of Christ. And she came and she anointed him." And the disciples, not having that knowledge, chided her, thought her wrong, misguided. I tell you, my dear friend, there are so many of God's people, and they would despise the Marys. They would despise those who earnestly seek after the knowledge of God by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Christianity today is all action. It's all action. Going, coming, organizing, running around. And when there comes a Mary who doesn't join in that, but sits at the feet of Jesus, she'll be despised. She'll be counted foolish. What does she know? What is she doing? What a waste. What a waste. She could have made far better use of that. Men and women, God's kingdom in America is dying for the need of a Mary. That's what we need. May God save the Free Presbyterian Church from just joining that mad scramble to get activities going. Oh, for the Spirit of Mary. Seated at the feet of Jesus, we will learn that which will put us in the possession of the knowledge of God's purpose and will in this day. We'll be sharers of God's purpose and will in this day. Do you know that? Most Christians are lost, confused. What's happening? But there is a people who have understanding of the times. And they're the Issacharites, or the Marys, who sit at the feet of Jesus. Oh, take your place there, my friend. You'll soon come to understand the purpose of God in this day. You'll soon come to understand. Let me take one more step with you and say that not only sitting at the feet of Jesus will put you in the possession of a knowledge of his will, but it will make you rise up to do something notable. Make you rise up and do something notable. Wouldn't you like to do something for the Lord before you die? I mean, something notable. Wouldn't you like to leave behind a testimony that you did something? That's what Mary left behind. Martha acted with wonderful courtesy toward the Lord, but Mary went far further. Martha loved the Lord. She believed in the Lord Jesus. But her view of him did not reach the heights that Mary's view attained. To Mary, the Lord Jesus was a prophet to hear, a priest to anoint, a king to honor. The plan to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ and dry his feet with her hair was born as she sat at his feet. And no doubt as she sat there in close proximity to his feet, would they not have suggested many things to her? Those feet that bore the marks of traveling as few men, indeed as any man, has ever traveled. They bore the marks of weariness and toil. And Mary knew he did it all for her. And she loved his feet. The feet that had brought him from glory to save her soul. And as she sat at his feet, I have no doubt the plan arose within her soul. I'll anoint those feet. I'll anoint those feet. Listen, men and women, you'll never think of anything that's worthwhile doing for Christ except when you're sitting at his feet. That's the place where your heart will be filled with things to do for Jesus. That's the place. I have no doubt that it was at his feet she thought of anointing him. And once she decided on that, she went ahead with her plan. And no matter how she was ridiculed, she was only a woman, the status of which was not what it is today, be that for good or evil. And when she came into that company and men began to very visibly show their displeasure at what she was doing, the single eye that she had enabled her to persevere with what she was doing irrespective of the grumblings among the highest of God's followers, of Christ's followers. She went on ahead with her task. It mattered not that at that moment, as she was carrying out this act of love and homage, that all around her there were those sneering, despising, criticizing. It just didn't count. C.T. Studd, the missionary pioneer, said, "If Christ be God and die for me, then no sacrifice I can make is too great." Oh, she saw the Lord dying for her, and that blinded her, deafened her to every criticism that may have arisen. Friend, you'll only do something of note for Jesus when you have sat at his feet. She was honored by the Lord, you know, for her love. I think it was Mary. And if it wasn't Mary, at least it was one who acted as she acted. And the Lord said, everywhere the gospel's preached, this story will be told. There were many wonderful things the Lord did that will never be told this side of eternity. In John's Gospel, the chapter 20, the verse 30, and
Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then in the next chapter, in the verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Many wonderful things were done by Christ of which we have no record, but Christ said, I want this written, what this woman has done. Here is an act more notable, more glorious than many of the lives lived for Christ. This one act placed her among the great ones of God.
I tell you, dear Christian, it's only when you sit at the feet of Jesus that you will ever rise to do anything for God. It's only from that position that you will go forth to do anything for the Lord. And strive how you may, you will never do anything of note for Christ unless it has been planned with him while you have been seated at his feet. When I preached this message at home, you know, my wife came to me afterwards. Some ministers' wives are blamed for their sermons. Well, I can tell you, I have a wife who oftentimes improves mine. And she said something I found very precious. She said, you know, that anointing of the Lord was so close to his death, he must have still smelt the ointment as he hung on the cross and remembered Mary. Is that not what it means to have fellowship with Christ in his suffering? Is that not what it means? Oh, dear friends, this is the hour of the Savior's reproach. This is a day of his shame. Let us sweeten and perfume the atmosphere for Christ by doing something of note for him in our lives. And to do that, let's start by getting to his feet. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help me to sit at the feet of Jesus.